Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, and welcome to some feedback. We're just discussing in the first service, it caught our attention, the nature of this stand and what it was made of. So I got comments in from our science teachery type friends, because it's not gallium, it's not beryllium or aluminum or helium. And then there's a sign, it's actually made of 100% pure podium, which is a science-related introduction. Wow. prior to working, I've been now working at the church since I was 19, 29 years ago. Prior to that, I worked for Golden West Bakery making buns for McDonald's, and I worked for Pepsi Cola, put me through school. But I actually had considered being a podium salesman, because podiums are a product that I can really get behind. And so that's two podium jokes in under a minute. That's not easy. That's not easy. Well, welcome to episode 3 of the Creatures of Habit series. They put me in third place because if I was in fourth place, I wouldn't need a podium. That is 3 podium. Okay. You're welcome. I appreciate those who enjoy the finer things of life. Week 3, as we talk about being a creature of habit, I want to trail off of some of the previous things talked about and venture into some new land. Let's get things going from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. It says this, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can get together and hear from your word. Lord, we're asking that you give us the ears to hear what you would have to say. Lord, help us hear it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm doing a new thing and streams in the wasteland. One thing that Pastor Mark talked about in week 1 was related to that water, as it was working its way through the sand, trenched out an area that as the water kept going, it kept trenching out and became finally became just a path that this is etched in to the sand. And that is very true. But I wanted to elaborate on that a little further in talking about this. My first premise, that change is possible. The water carves out sand like this. How many of you have ever been to Fort Langley? Fort Langley, the area, enjoy some Fort Langley. You go to Beatnik's, get some restaurant food at Beatnik's. How about Wendell's? Some Wendell's fans out there, anyone? Is this thing on? Wendell's, yeah? Now, if I was to tell you that Fort Langley has some interesting geography. Let me bring up that first overhead map. Now you can see McMillan Island there, and then right in the center of there we see Fort Langley, looks a bit like a U. But underneath Fort Langley, you can see a light green patch that covers all the way underneath from the side, all the way underneath and comes back up. Why don't you pop over to the next side to help with the visual? You see that red line there. And that was previously the direction and the flow of the Fraser River. That's why the area is very fertile and agricultural. You can go back to the previous slide. Why it's agricultural and really fertile like that is because that area, you can see it's distinctly different where Fort Langley is raised. And the areas by the other side of what was the river are raised. That's where a U in the river used to be Fort Langley was previously part of Maple Ridge. The first premise that I want to get through and communicate is that change is possible. Premise one, change is possible. In something as massive and as mighty as the Fraser, you would say, that thing's not going anywhere anytime soon. But you can see, and you often see rivers where they, you know, they bend and turn, and so it makes great sense that that is where the river once was. Now, you've heard this said, well, old habits die hard. He'll never change. She'll never change. This circumstance is the way it is, and you just got to get used to it. Hunker down for the long haul because they just won't change. They won't change. Change is impossible. And so premise one has to be that change is very much possible. Whatever season you're at, whatever's going on in life, whether it's your workplace or a relationship you're in or your own personal interests or things you're great at or vices, there is the potential for change in every situation. Okay, so that's premise one. I want to kind of lay the groundwork here before we get into the rest of it. Change is possible. You with me? Does that sound reasonable? Here we're good? Oh, okay. We'll see where this goes then. Now, premise two that I want to kind of pave into this. So one, cultivating new habits. Two, curbing temptations. Things that redefine the path of something, even a waterway or a river like that. Something that comes in, you say, it won't change. Because of this, this temptation, this particular vice or habit, it won't change because of this. Maybe your issue is that you eat too much pizza and it's made you chubby. Whatever. It's like the name Domino's. I appreciate the name Domino's because it infers things collapsing and falling apart around you. So this idea of having things in place in life and in around you, it's like perhaps if I eat enough Domino's and carbohydrates, it may actually feel like a hug. But the truth is, you can eat all the pizza you want, it will not feel like a hug in the end. Having these set barriers in place for the river, you say, well, it can't change because of this. Premise two that I want to kind of get in on before we get into, I want to make sure that you walk away with hope that change is possible and then give you some creative strategies to add into that. So here's the question. Did God remove all temptations from the garden? Thank you. I don't mind interactive. If I've had enough, I'll tell you. No, in fact, God put, it says like this in Genesis 2. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:9. So that premise, God included into the mix some things, and this is where the issue of choice comes in and the dynamic of free will. He includes in the garden and says, you can't have that. That's not good for you. Don't take that one. He made it and put it there, but he says, don't have it. So we have that God made it, and he says, don't have it because it's not good for you. Having your waterway in life and saying things can't change because of this and because of this, the premise too is that God has more for you. James 1:13. When tempted, No one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So we go, there's this waterway of life. Things will change, things will never change because of this and this. These pieces are in place. Did God do that? Did God tempt me? Well, we know that it says here, he doesn't tempt anyone. He's not tempted by evil. So we have the issue of choice, and the things that were included in the garden is the introduction of the free will, God's greatest gifts to us. Within that context, including something like the dominoes of life. Have you ever seen that show where it's like, what's that, the intervention show? Anyone? No one watches TV out there? Right. Great. Well, this is going to be a terrible point then, because it relies heavily on you understanding the show Intervention. In the show Intervention, the gist is, person has a problem in life, often drug or alcohol abuse. We see those where they take somebody and temporarily pull them out of their circumstance. And we do this with local ministries when someone has a drug addiction issue or this sort of thing. Try and pop them out of their circumstance temporarily, relearn some things, but they got to go back eventually. That's where your family and all those other pieces are. Is removing every last temptation, everything, is that what God wants for us? See, we get into this trap, but parents do this all the time. You put yourselves in a situation where you meticulously guard every last thing surrounding a child or a kid, and then when they're confronted with it, they don't know what to do because they've been guarded from something. We make education choices built on this, friendship choices. It's tricky. Now, do I want good things for my kid? Yes. Did God want good things for his kid? Yes. Did he remove every last thing out of their path that could cause any harm? No. And so it comes into this, well, what does God want in this scenario? He didn't remove all the temptation, but the premise is this. One, in that cultivating new habits, change is possible. That river can be rerouted. And two, that fulfilling life is something that God wants for you. I have come that you may have life, and what? And have it more abundantly. Thanks. I'm getting concerned now. I've come that you may have life and what? And have it more abundantly. For those of you who haven't learned that one yet, it's a great scripture that God came, sent his son Jesus, that you would have life and have it more abundantly. So premise two is that God wants you to have fullness in life. Okay, so we got change is possible. God didn't put temptations and things in your path, but actually he wants you to have a fulfilled and full life. What that looks like exactly, you're sorting that out. So those are the premises before we kind of dip into more of the creative ideas behind some of our devotional living. You see, as we work through life, there will be things that you want to change. There will be things that you want to change. I'm going to talk a bit about the city of Jericho. And I'm going to do that through a series of ways and give you some ideas on some things that you can do to assist in changing life. Individually, they don't have a full meaning, but you'll get where I'm going by the end. Okay, first part of the list. In creative devotions, 21 days of prayer is something that we're currently doing. There's 118 people from the congregation involved in currently in this 21 days of prayer. Is 21 days of prayer the answer? No. It's a tool that could possibly be used to develop a new habit. You see, sometimes rerouting the whole Fraser, that doesn't happen overnight. It's not a decade. It's not a weekend. This is the wrong order. It's not a weekend. It's not a decade. 100 years, 1,000 years in rerouting it. but it's possible to reroute it, and it happens a bit at a time. See, in that 21 days of prayer, it came from this guy, Dr. Maxwell Maltz, in his book, Psycho-Cybernetics. This is where the origin of the 21 days to break a habit come from. And his research said that it could take as little as 18 days, but often up to 254 days, to introduce a new habit. So 21 days was his middle point. There's research that says 66 days to generate a new habit. Let me tell you, in 2017, I did this film series called 3 Minutes Gone. Thank you. And as part of this film series, every day I made a 3-minute video. Well, a 3-minute video for you was 3 hours of filming and editing and uploading and labeling and blah, 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 blah. And at the end of 2017, December 31, do you know how long it took me to stop doing something that I'd created a habit for 365 days? It took one day. And I was done. I was done probably by day 150, but I'd made a commitment to keep going. A habit can be broken and everything change in a blink if the conditions of things are right. It's not any one thing. You see, those 3 hours that it took me, this would be maybe more realistic for some, I swapped out those 3 hours a day and jumped straight into playing video games. You're like, what? Are you like a grown man? I'm like, no. I'm like 48 out here and 16 in here. And after, so you're like, you spent a couple hours a day playing video games. Yeah. I was the king of my clan. I was smashing villages like no one could smash villages. I was my group leader. I'm so very important. You see, whatever is going on in your heart, that thing one was dealing with, swapping out for thing two doesn't change what's going on inside of your heart. Flip-flopping habits does not a life make. At the end of 2018, I'm like, I'm literally wasting my life. Actual wasting my life. And so, do you know how long it took me to quit video games? It took 1 minute. Uninstall. No more crushing candy. No more making words out of pies or word cookies. No more clanning of the clashes and the destruction of the villages. One day, done. Because I was sick, I feel like it's therapy right now. Because I was sick of this idea that my whole life is being consumed by something fleeting like this. So a habit can be broken in a day. Introduction of new things is how. So what replaced that? Well, in 2019, I started a podcast with Pastor Mark, and now I make cheese. True story. I can make boursin, mozzarella. I've made brie, camembert, cheddar, derby. I love cheese now. So for 2020, this last weekend, so literally this weekend, I learned how to make cannolis. Last weekend, I learned how to make donuts. The weekend before that, I was making my own eggnog. I've got a problem. I don't claim that all my ways are healthy, but I do feel like at least I can eat what I'm making now. One habit, one at a time, adjusting around. You see, putting pieces and processes in life that help change things is like the battle and the walls falling at Jericho. You have something, let's call this Jericho. You have some things in your life, and I guarantee it's true, that you want to adjust. Say, I'd like to move into this area. Perhaps it's a relationship. Perhaps it's something going on in your own personal life. Perhaps it's a business thing. And you feel like you've been walking around the same issue day after day. Illustration from the Battle of Jericho. And they walked around it. And you know what they thought? This is stupid. Nothing is changing. You introduce enough new habits. We're talking about fasting. If you've been, you're wanting to get rid of some of that pizza fat, maybe skip lunch and pray. Is it the answer? No. But if I add that and I do another lap, do you know what's changing? Is not my circumstance. It's me. I'm changing. Prayer walk. You want to walk off some of that pizza fat? Get out there. Go for a walk. Walk for 30 minutes. And while you're doing it, pray for the things that are going on inside of your life. My family, we do family devotions. Sometimes we're hot on it. Sometimes we suck. And so, like, where we'll go, like, we get together, family, and we'll do something fun. We'll pray together. We'll do some sort of activity and read through the Bible and discuss about what's going on in each other's lives and make meal plans for the week. And it's a great little family bonding thing. Sometimes we nail it down. But is it the silver bullet to fix devotionals in my life? No. But it's a piece. I add it to my life. And I do another lap. You do another lap. Is it changing something? I feel sometimes like, this is stupid. Nothing is changing. And we often feel like that, and we'll get discouraged by it. Nothing is changing. She'll never change. He'll never change. I'll never change. This circumstance will never change. Things always are the way they are. They're never going to change. I need to jump ship. You know what you need to do is do another lap. Conferences. These are creative ideas. Jot these down. There's all sorts of conferences going on all over the place. Ways to infuse God's word into you. Ways to hear from speakers who excel in varying areas. To hear more of God's word and filling your heart. You can journal. I think journaling is a terrible idea, but maybe it's good for you. You got to find something that works for you. Bit by bit by bit. One more lap. You're going to do one more lap. I don't know if this is actually changing anything, but yes, something is happening. This thing hasn't moved at all. It still looks the same, smells the same, everything about it is the same. Next slide through. Heading off to a music festival. We take our kids, we're going to go, we're filling our lives with some good godly music. We'd head off to Creation Fest, or before that, Jesus Northwest, or Sun Fest. Or you infuse your life with something different. Hear from some different speakers, hear from some different types of bands, whatever. Maybe daily devotions. I love going through my YouVersion and be like, your streak is at 50-something days, and you're like, yes, I'm amazing. You're getting, it's a different thing. One more lap with a new tool. One more lap with a new tool. Nothing's changing. On the seventh day when they were going around Jericho, what'd they do? Seventh day. Bible scholars out there. I'll just tell you then. They did seven laps. Seven laps on the day. They got to be feeling like, this is moronic. Why are we doing this? Nothing is changing. God's like, one more lap, guys. One more lap. Maybe while you're doing that walk, you throw in an audiobook or a podcast of sermons. You can listen to sermons, fill your heart with God's word from preachers from coast to coast. Andy Stanley, East Coast, and Pastor Steve on the West Coast. You can go to a home group. A little bit, something different. A little bit, something different. Man, is this changing? Is anything happening? You can go out with a friend. And so instead of when you're going out with a friend and having a coffee, at the very end say, okay, I don't want to be weird. I just want to take 30 seconds. I'm just going to pray for you. Is that cool? Pray for you. 30 seconds. Boom. something different to shake it up. Maybe head off to night shift. I'm telling you, these are killer ideas. These ideas kill so much that I need to share them from a Hannibal lectern. That's a lectern. That is a podium. That is a fourth podium joke today. That's a callback. Thank you. Having ideas, it's not one thing, but a series of small things that reroute the Fraser. I walk around it again. Next slide. One more lap. One more lap in your life. Go to church. I go to church when I'm on holidays. I love going to church. Listen to their songs. I just did a recent 25-year anniversary trip with my wife. We went to through the Mediterranean, and we were in Israel. So one day, we were on the cruise ship for one, so we went to cruise ship church. It was weird, but I was into it. And then you just go to the buffet afterwards, so whatever. And then we were in Israel, and then we went to church. And then so the church, and it was all in Russian while we were in Israel, and but they're singing like songs from Australia in Russian, whatever. I love it. One more lap. Do something different. Take a thankful inventory. Pastor Brad talked about that. Sing a song. Pick a topic and investigate it. Fill your heart with God's word in new, different ways. What's going to work for you? Maybe, is it one of these? I don't know. But you're going to take one and you're going to do another lap. Art. Some people find it very therapeutic to do artistic things if you're gifted that way. Take a Bible scene and do it in a different motif. The Last Supper in steampunk, which I'm not a fan of steampunk, but of all the ways to do punk, steam is the healthiest. Thanks, buddy. One more lap. So finally, that thing that you've been circling changes all at once. Boom. At the end of day 7, it all collapsed down. And that's how it's going to be for your life too. You're like, I've been walking around this stupid thing for forever. This habit's not going to change. It's ridiculous. You know, change happens. Premise 1. You know that God has more for you. Premise 2. We got this amazing list of little piece by piece things that add in. It's a little silt here. It's a few stones here. It's a log here. Next thing you know, the Fraser River looks different. And that's how it is for your life. It's one more lap. Picking something new. Something's going to change. Like, what's changing? I'm just doing another lap. You're changing. And I want to head into this final point with this. That quitting is a mistake. You see, we had 1, cultivating new habits, 2, curbing temptations, 3, creative devotions. I needed a 4th C, and I couldn't think of one, so I did quitting is a mistake. But the reason I did this is so for, it's so like a pleasurable thing for me, because it starts with this. It'll go to the front office for Marilyn, and then so she'll say, I think, and she's like a you know, one of a grammar Nazi kind of person. And then so goes into there. And then she's like, this is wrong. Message back and forth. Is this right? I'm like, I just needed a 4th C. And then it goes from her and goes off to and Heather over and review it. And Brad, before it hits the screens, and Heather messaged me. Is that right? Is that a typo? What's going on? Brad's like, there was a lot of discussion earlier. If that was a, I'm like, That's why I did it, just for my own satisfaction. Quitting the journey is a mistake. Quitting is a mistake. James 4:8 says this, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You've been walking around something so long, you are convinced it's not possible to change. And the encouraging word from the Lord this morning is change is possible and is coming. You've been walking around some things just so long, this will never change. One more lap, one more lap. Pick a new tool, do one more lap. Whether it's a new way of doing a devotional, whether it's a new way of never listened to a sermon podcast. Maybe today's your day. Maybe you've not gone for a prayer walk. Maybe you don't walk. I don't know. Just wheel around. I don't know. Find a way. There's a way for you. Part of that journey and that process is that if you keep at it, day one, day two, day seven, seven laps, boom, because that's how things change. Often all at once. This is not going to happen. This isn't going to work. It all changes in a blink. And if you've been walking around for something for so long, you are convinced that it's not movable. My encouragement for you, you must walk away with this. You can have that change if you want it. And I'm not talking Tony Robbins change. I'm talking God transformation, taking you to a new place, a new level in your faith to believe for more, that God wants something better for you. Old habits, sometimes they're tricky to get rid of. And Erasmus, the Dutch philosopher, says it this way. A nail is driven out by another nail. Habit is overcome by habit. Sometimes to get rid of this habit, I'm going to need to add seven better ones. Until I get to that heart of what is driving me and driving this whole issue, it might take multiple ways to fill that space. Does that make any sense? Yeah? You with me? And so I want to leave you with that encouragement. And I'm going to get you to respond this way. If you'd stand with me, please. The Lord loves you. And he's got more for you. That thing that you're convinced isn't going to happen, don't quit on it. It can happen. That wayward kid in your home, with that spouse, that work situation, that health crisis, you need to take on a new dimension and do another lap. Pick one, pick two, do another lap. Start overlapping them. Go on a prayer walk while listening to sermon podcasts with your friend while drinking coffee. I don't know. Find a way. There's something for you in this list that if you'll take it, it'll transform your faith. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. If you've got a thing in your life that you're wanting transformation, this isn't a salvation, raise your hand. This is a God, me, I want that. You pop up your hand, and I'm going to pray for you hand popper-uppers, that God would give whatever it is specific for you, a new creative way to deal with Jericho. A creative devotional thing. I pray for you. With your hands, those with your hands raised, this is for you. Others, you can join along if you wish. Lord, I thank you for each of my friends with their hand raised up. That hand raised up is a sign of faith, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can even think and imagine. Lord, that you have something new for our lives, that the old things have passed away and all things have become new. Lord, that you would replace that old habit with several new good ones. Lord, that you would take what is eating at us and replace it with what gives us life. Lord, for whatever is needed for each of my individual friends, whatever their particular bend is, Lord, fill their hearts with full. Let them know that you love them, that you've got good lined up for them. And you want to see them have a full, abundant life. Lord, we just trust you for this transformation. Lord, we receive it in faith as our first step. We thank you, Lord, that with you all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you guys.